Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 to 56, the betrayal of Jesus. Jesus was betrayed by Judas that night and was deserted by all the others. Let's look at that event and just for a moment consider three lessons that we can learn. First of all, Jesus demonstrated humility regardless of circumstance. Look at verse 47 down to verse 50. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Judas, one of the 12. All four Gospels refer to Judas this way. The expression emphasizes the wickedness of his crime, betrayal of the one closest to him, with whom he spent the past 3 years, kissed. This kind of kiss was a symbol of love and affection in the Middle East culture. Of the varieties of this kiss, on the feet, on the back of the hand, on the palm, on the hem of the garment, Judas chose to embrace and kiss on the cheek, the one that was normally reserved for one with whom a person had a close, intimate relationship, such as a pupil for his teacher. Judas could not have chosen a more despicable way to identify Jesus because it was so treacherous and hypocritical. No enemies are worse than those who profess to be faithful friends, who in betrayal use that relationship to further their own ends. Judas greeted Jesus with the term Rabbi, which means my master, and then kissed him. It was with such intensity that Judas pretended to love Jesus. Jesus' response to Judas was amazing. He called him friend. And the term is not the usual Greek word for friend, but another word that literally means comrade. Every Christian is called to follow Jesus' example. G.K. Chesterton said, it is always the secure who are most humble. Second, Jesus trusted divine plans rather than carnal weapons. Look at verse 51 down to verse 54. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus? One of those. Well, John identifies that swordsman as Peter, and the victim as Malchus. Clearly, Peter was aiming for the head. Only Luke mentions that Jesus healed Malchus in Luke 22, verse 51. Then Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. This is the only place in Scripture where Jesus healed a person from a fresh wound. He healed an enemy unasked and without any evidence of faith in the one that was healed. Perish by the sword. Peter was acting like a vigilante. But no matter how unjust the arrest of Jesus was, Peter had no right to take the law into his own hands. Anyway, Jesus could call many angels to himself. Listen, a Roman legion was 6,000 soldiers. So Jesus is talking about more than 72,000 angels. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, one angel killed more than 185,000 men in one night. So this many angels would be quite an army. God doesn't need our help, much less our sins, to fulfill His purposes. Though Christ was crucified in weakness, it was voluntary weakness. He submitted to death. If He had not been willing to suffer, they couldn't conquer Him. And then third, Jesus' disciples revealed how little they knew their hearts. Verses 55 and 56. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And then all of the disciples forsook him and fled. The same ones who had left everything to follow Jesus now leave him to try and protect their own lives. They feared death and fled from the fountain of life. True faithfulness to Jesus Christ is discovered not in good times of life, but in those moments when things get rough. As sad as the desertion of Jesus was, it doesn't have to be your story. No matter what is going on in your life, humbly place it in God's care. Resist the temptation to trust your own resources rather than God's. Be prepared for the big trials by practicing with the small ones. You give that thought, and you have a great day.